Isn't it absolutely amazing to be back together in person again? Isn't it wonderful? I never thought how much I would miss action songs until this morning. I'm exhausted. I also realised how terrible I still am at action songs, which was also a little bit of a revelation. If you've got a Bible, would love you to turn with me to that passage that Aaron read a verse from today, from 2 Corinthians chapter 4. And I'm going to read verses 7 to the end, verse 18, for us this morning. And let's pray as we read that God's Holy Spirit would speak to us through this amazing passage that Paul's writing to this church in Corinth. Paul writes, "We have this treasure in jars of clay to show that this all-surpassing power is from God and not from us. We are hard-pressed on every side, but not crushed. Perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not abandoned. Struck down, but not destroyed. We always carry around in our body the death of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus may also be revealed in our body. For we who are alive are always being given over to death for Jesus' sake, so that his life may also be revealed in our mortal body. So then death is at work in us, but life is at work in you. It is written, 'I believed, therefore I have spoken.' Since we have that same spirit of faith, we also believe and therefore speak, because we know that the one who raised the Lord Jesus from the dead will also raise us with Jesus and present us with you to himself. All this is for your benefit, so that the grace that is reaching more and more people may cause thanksgiving to overflow to the glory of God. Therefore, we do not lose heart. Though outwardly we are wasting away, yet inwardly we are being renewed day by day. For our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. So we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but on what is unseen. Since what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal." I wonder if you've had a moment recently where you realized you have to be real with yourself and real with God. I had one of these moments a couple of years ago at the time when we were allowed to go out and go to nightclubs. Now, I'm not a nightclubber. A wild night in the Knox household is staying up to watch the 10 o'clock news these days with children. But about 20 years ago, the nightclub was my kind of natural habitat. And so a couple of years ago, I found myself with a friend of mine out in partying, and it was like I was 21 again. And I was giving it the shapes, I was throwing it around, and in my head, at the time, I thought, do you know what, I still look about 25? I was about to get a rude awakening. Because this lad who looked about 12 years old, that's what happens, isn't it, with younger people? They look a bit younger than they actually are. This lad who looks about 12 comes up to me, and he's looking at me like I'm an absolute alien from another planet. And I'm like going for it. He comes up to me and he goes, "Where are you from?" And I said, "Mate, I'm from Birmingham." He looked at me and he said, "How old are you?" I said, I'm 36. He pointed at me and he goes, "Birmingham, 36. Mate, you're a legend." And it's absolutely true. Every 10 minutes for the next hour, he kept coming up to me going, "Birmingham, 36. Legends." And kept wanting to shake my hand. I had this moment at that time where I realized I had to be real with myself and with God, that I didn't look 25 anymore. This passage also resonated to me, and it says that outwardly we're wasting away. That was another moment of realization for me. But you know what I love about the Bible? I love the Bible in so many different ways, but one of the things I love about God's word to us is that it's real. It's authentic. And people in the Bible are real people who are real with God and real with themselves about what's going on. You read the Psalms, you read Lamentations. Lamentations has been a really helpful book for me through this pandemic, because life's a struggle and we can be real. We don't have to pretend that everything's okay. And in this verse, in these verses, Paul opens with, we have this treasure in jars of clay. We'll come on to the good news in a minute because I'm an evangelist and we have to get there. But for the moment, I'm going to compare us, as Paul does, to jars of clay. It's not a flattering comparison, is it? Jars of clay in the time that Paul's writing in this book of Corinth would have been very commonplace around homes. They'd have been like this. Interestingly, this is not made of clay. It's made of plastic. I didn't realize that when I ordered it, but never mind. But interestingly, isn't it? It looks the real deal. And so often as Christians, we try to look the real deal when we realize actually deep down, life's hard and we're struggling and we're broken. Paul goes on to talk about the struggles that he's having. He says, first of all, we're hard pressed on every side. How often as humans do we feel hard pressed on every side? The pressures of work and home life and church and the stresses around family and all kinds of things, we feel hard pressed on every side. Then Paul goes on, it gets worse. We're persecuted. Now, don't get me wrong, we are not persecuted like some people around the world today. Think for a moment about how it is to be a Christian in Afghanistan at the moment. We are not persecuted like that, but there is an increasing chill factor to Bible-believing Christians in the UK at the moment. We have increasingly unpopular views. He goes on, we're perplexed. How many of us in this last year have asked the question, what is going on? And then he says, we're struck down. Theologians say of this passage of struck down, a good comparison is that Paul's depressed. Life's so hard for him, he's depressed. What's even more extraordinary is that the person who's writing this is Paul. By his own definition, he's kind of like a bit of a super Christian. He says in Philippians 3, if anyone thinks they have confidence, reasons to put confidence in the flesh, I've got more. This guy is not short on self-esteem. History ascribes him of writing almost half the books in the New Testament. He's a central figure in the world's most successful startup. Do you know the church today? 2.2 billion members around the world. Isn't that amazing? 2.2 billion. They reckon by 2050 it'll be 3 billion. People say the church is dying. Now in the Western world we face a struggle, but around the world, God's on the move. And yet this super apostle at the heart of this rapid, explosive church growth is clearly a broken man. He's hard-pressed. He's perplexed. He's persecuted. He's struck down. And the first thing I want to share with us today is that it's okay. We can move the slide forward, that'd be great. At the same time, he's hard-pressed, perplexed, persecuted, struck down, but he's not crushed, not in despair, not abandoned, not destroyed. We can click one forward. And the first thing I want to say to us today is that it is okay not to be okay. Okay not to be okay. We have to be real. We have to be real with one another and real with God. Because as Christians, it can be so easy, can't it, to put a front up. And when someone asks us how we're doing, we say we're fine. When the Bible models to us a way, that tells us it's okay not to be okay. But more than that, we don't have to have it all together to be used by God. Paul is on fire for Jesus. This church in Corinth is growing rapidly. Paul's going all over the Middle East and South Europe, starting churches, lighting fires for the kingdom. But he's clearly not okay. He recognizes he's a jar of clay. And the reason that he's able to do that are those first few verses, first few words of that verse, we have this treasure. As Aaron so beautifully illustrated with his paper cup, it's not about the cup itself, it's about what's in it. And we have this treasure. There is hope in your heart. You go to Hope Church, you should know that. And that hope in your heart is the most important thing about you. However else you define yourself, the hope in your heart that Jesus gives you is the most important defining characteristic of who you are. And you know, there's been a lot of hope, a lot of talk about hope, hasn't there, recently? But we need to be really clear as Christians as to where the direction of our hope is. I think we've got a little video clip that we could show that shows a little bit of what happens when your hope is in the wrong direction.
Step up here on this chair and close your eyes. All right. right, and then everybody fill in, and we're going to ask you to fall, and then they will catch you. So you have to trust us. I'm going to count to three, just relax and fall, okay? One, two, three. No, wait, no, wait!
Isn't that absolutely wonderful? That's what happens if your hope's in the wrong direction. But today I want to be really clear with us as Christians and followers of Jesus that our deepest hope is not in a vaccine. Our deepest hope is not in the NHS. Our deepest hope is not in economic recovery. It's not in a new normal, an old normal, or going back to normal. Our deepest hope is in Jesus. And there's no plan B. Jesus doesn't somehow make our lives a little bit better. This treasure that we have in jars of clay isn't a kind of slight improvement to our life. It's not like that phone call you get from your broadband company saying, would you like a slightly faster speed? Jesus is our only hope, and he changes everything. Billy Graham famously said this, I've read the last page of the Bible. It's going to turn out all right. This hope matters. This treasure happens. And Paul in verse 11 says, we who are alive are always being given over to death for Jesus' sake, so that his life may be also be revealed in our mortal body. His life comes out through the treasure and the hope that we have in our hearts. Paul's insistence then is not only that this treasure gives life to us, but it gives life to the world. Verse 13, it is written, I believe, therefore I have spoken. Since I have that same spirit of faith, we also believe and therefore speak. Church, this hope is not just for us, it's for the whole world. So why do we share our faith? Verse 14, we know it's a matter of life and death. Because we know that the one who raised the Lord Jesus from the dead will also raise us with Jesus and present us with you to himself. We have to hold on to this, not just for ourselves, but for those around us too. As Lee mentioned, I'm a passionate evangelist. I desperately believe that everyone needs to hear the good news of Jesus. That's why I'm here today. That's why I wrote the book. That's why I work for the Evangelical Alliance. That's why I regularly pray for my friends to come to know Jesus. Jesus is the only hope, not just for us, but for our friends too. And this really matters. The latest person I've seen grasp this is my 8-year-old son. Now, there was no parental pressure in this, but we were reading the Chronicles of Narnia, which are my favorite books growing up. But he decided to pause reading the Chronicles of Narnia to read Daddy's book. I was a very proud father and author. But there was no parental pressure. But he said, can we read your book? I said, great. He found out some truths about what I was like as a teenager, but we'll get over that. But then halfway through, he begins to start praying for his friends in his class. And almost every night this year, he's prayed for his whole class to come to faith. And about this time last year, when lockdown restrictions were lifted and he's able to go back to school, one day he came back from school really excitedly. He said, Daddy, I've got something exciting to tell you. I said, what is it, Caleb? He said, today Jacob became a Christian. I'm like, wow. I said, what happened? He said, well, I went up to him and I said, Jacob, do you want to live forever? Jacob said, yes. Caleb said, well, you've got to become a Christian then. Jacob said, all right then. Caleb said, all right, now you're a Christian. Now, first of all, can I clarify, that's not how the book tells you to share your faith. Secondly, if his evangelistic appeal is like that when he's 28, not 8, we've got a problem. But it shows you, doesn't it, the hope that he knows in his heart is not just for him, but for others. But also, we know that, verse 14 again. Sorry, verse 15. That grace is reaching more and more people around the world. Today, God's on the move. The gospel still works. The church is still growing. His kingdom is still coming. His will is still being done. That grace that is reaching more and more people may cause thanksgiving to the overflow of the glory of God. So it's okay not to be okay. We're broken, cracked, fragile. But we have a treasure. This treasure changes something for us and that for those around us. Do you know what's amazing in this passage? There's a connection between the two. There's a connection between the fact that we're broken and hurting and lost and the fact that this treasure bursts out of that. It's like the jars are cracked. And the greater the cracks, the greater the light shines through. Have you noticed this as Christians? That in our weakness, that's when God's at his strongest. When we feel persecuted, perplexed, struck down, that's when God's at his greatest. When we need him the most and when he uses us the most often. I've witnessed this most recently through my mum. Just as COVID struck and lockdown restrictions started, we knew that mum had cancer, but we found out in those few weeks after that first lockdown that her cancer was terminal. And it was an incredibly painful experience, you can imagine, for us as a family, not only coping with COVID and the restrictions, but also seeing my mum in what turned out to be her final days. But you know what was extraordinary? As I watched this woman who'd followed Jesus for all of her life, she got physically weaker. She got spiritually stronger. And I would watch her worshipping in that hospice. I would see her as she became increasingly frail. God's life in her. And I was with her for a final breath. And in that moment, she had never been spiritually closer to Jesus. And she's home now. In heaven. But in those final days, there was something not only that God did in her, but also through her. Because she also was desperate to see that hope that she had reach her friends too. And so in her final days, she recorded a little video for her friends to be played at a funeral because her funeral was on Zoom. And as an evangelist, I thought it would be necessary to do a response off the back of my mum's excellent talk. And afterwards, got this text from a friend who she'd prayed for many years. And the text said, "I prayed with you. I believe in Jesus that he died for me." In mum's weakest and final moments, the life of Jesus, hope of Jesus, the treasure that she had in her heart through her cracked physical body breaks out and does something amazing in the lives of many people. And we'll never forget it. And here's the deal for us today. You will never know the impact of your life. You'll never know the impact of the prayers that you pray, of the words that you say to others, of the encouragements that you give, of the simple gestures and acts of kindness that bring hope to the world, that bring God's kingdom forward that little bit further. Those invitations where no one ever turned up, you will never know the impact of your life. And that's why Paul, in the final moments of this passage, says, don't lose heart. As a church, don't lose heart. Outwardly, we're wasting away, but inwardly, we're being renewed day by day. For our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. So fix your eyes not on what's seen, but what's unseen. For what's seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. My final encouragement to you today is that however broken, hurting, bereaved, disappointment, discouraged you feel, we all get to play a part because we have this treasure. The last wedding I went to in real life before masks and Zoom weddings. In fact, I preached at a Zoom wedding last year. It was brilliant because I got to wear the waistcoat, the tie, and the jacket on top and shorts and trainers on the bottom. It was brilliant. But the last wedding I went to in real life was a friend from university. And have you ever been to those kind of weddings or functions where you feel completely out of place? Well, this was for me. This was like the most posh wedding I think I'd ever been to. And I live on a bit of a council estate, so I was completely out of my depth. And it was one of those days where I didn't know anybody else there. Danny wasn't able to come, and there was no other kind of people to kind of hang out with. So I felt completely out of place. And it was so posh. We turned up at like the kind of reception, and the canapes looked so beautiful, I didn't want to eat them. You know, it was gorgeous. There were these really long, can we have the next slide up, please? There were these really long tables at this wedding, beautifully kind of crafted with lovely little kind of set pieces on, that kind of stuff. It was beautiful. And there's this moment where then this really posh bloke rings a bell and says, "Ladies and gentlemen, would you please take your seats?" So we come through to the tables, and each table has this really lovely name tag next to it. And I walk looking for my name. You do that thing where you kind of walk in, you're like, "Where's my name?" And I have this terrible moment where I walk up and down the tables. I can't find my name. And with every name tag I walk past, which isn't mine, I begin to sweat more and more. It was quite a hot day as it was. So I'm walking up and down. I can't find my name tag. So I'm like, I just can't find it. So then I have this moment where I'm like, I'm not here. And I can't go up to the groom and go, excuse me, mate, I know it's your wedding day and stuff, but where's my place? So we walk up and down, we're trying to find it, And in the end, I decide, I'm so embarrassed that I'm not here. And I'm checking it, am I at the right wedding? Do I know these people? So I decide to go home. So I get to the car, and I type into the sat-nav the postcode. And then I remember in this moment, as I hold my phone, I'm like, my friend texted me to check for dietary requirements. He wouldn't have done this just for the canapes. So I'm like, maybe I do have a place there. So then I kind of tentatively make my way back, and I'm genuinely walking down this kind of Oxfordshire village road going, I was turning backwards and forwards, and I eventually resolve, I'll have one last look. And when I turn up, everyone's taken their seats. And I kind of decide, I'll do one last lap, and I'm walking up and down. I'm like, it's not here. And then suddenly, there's this sight that I will never forget. I see my name on a little piece of card. And I'm like, I had a place. But you know what was amazing? Didn't just have a place, but I'd been seated with the family. Today, may you know that there is hope in your heart. You have a treasure. It's okay not to be okay, but not only that, you get to play a part in bringing hope to those around you. You have a part to play. You have a seat at the table, and it's with the family. It's with the family. Today, let's discover afresh how beautiful, how precious this hope is. Let's remember the hope that we have is in Jesus. Let's know that however we're feeling, whatever bruises and scars we've borne as a result of this pandemic, we can be real with God. We can be real with one another. And today, may you know you have a place. You have a part to play. And it's with this beautiful family of God. Let's pray, shall we? Just invite you in this moment to invite the Holy Spirit to reveal the truth of what he wants to say to you today. I wonder whether for some of us there is something around being real. Maybe for some of us we've been like my plastic jar of clay. Everything looks fine on the outside, but we really know there's a storm going on inside. And maybe today God wants you to cry out to him. And maybe even then to cry out to somebody else. Maybe for some of us today, we know that the treasure in our heart has not been Jesus. And we need to say to God today, wherever else we've been placing our hope, we need to remove that from the throne of our life and put Jesus back on the throne of our life. And if that's you, I just urge you to do so now. To say in your heart, I'm sorry for where I've put my hope and my treasure somewhere else. But today, King Jesus, would you take your place on the throne? And maybe for some of us, we need to be reminded that in our brokenness, in our hurting, in our weakness, we've got a part to play. And so, Holy Spirit, would you remind us of that today? Thank you that you're on the move, God. Help us to play our part. Thank you that we will never know the full impact of our lives. In Jesus' name.